Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 6 of the Good People, Bad Intentions podcast. And today I have a special guest, as always. We have none other than Sean Finnegan. Sean has been an amateur boxer since the age of 9 years old. Now he's 21, and he's doing something that I am really interested in. He is actually competing for a varsity boxing team for Crandall University. Originally, he's from Ormukto and fighting out of the Ormukto Boxing Club. And that is a really interesting thing in and of itself, because Ormukto is a town that's also a military base for the Canadian Armed Forces. And Sean is also a member of the Reserve Forces. So it's going to be a really interesting conversation with him about boxing, about his university, as well as his military experience. Hello, Sean. Hey,
How's it going?
Good. How are you doing? Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no worries, man. Thanks for having me.
One of my first guests I had was Aubrey McLeod, and we had a little bit of a chat towards the end of the podcast. We're talking about you. And going into it, I just wanted to say that the first time that I kind of heard your name or whatnot, you remember when you went to compete in Hawaii with Brady Frazier?
Yeah. How could I forget?
Well, when you guys competed there, I was seeing everybody's posts and whatnot, and that looked like it was a really good time. And ever since then, I've been kind of following you on Instagram, seeing your posts. There's been a lot of developments, and something that I'm really going to be interested in talking about is how you've been able to, in Crandall University, been able to compete in boxing. And of course, you got the racing as well. You've been doing some runs. I see. Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. And how is your the start of your 2022 been so far?
Not all right, man. Just chilling, really. Right, waiting for school to start. Starts up tomorrow.
Oh, really? And what program are you taking?
I'm in the history program.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And do you see any particular history that you're interested in studying further, or are you trying to focus on just a general history major?
Yeah, probably just a general history major. Just I'm really boxing at the school is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Running, right? But you know, I might as well get an education while I'm there, right?
Of course. And another thing that I know is, of course, the Ormukto Boxing Club that you were a part of also has a lot of active duty people in the military at the base. And I do know that you were in the reserves. Are you still in the reserves with yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm still there.
So thank you for your service. Like I said, I had Aubrey on and we were talking, and I'm really interested starting out. When did the opportunity to go to Crandall to box? When was that a possibility?
Well, originally my plan before the pandemic hit, I was going to go pro. I want to do my pro debut in Fredericton on one of the cards, May 2020, I think it was. Anyways, COVID happened and that got shut down. So I was like, what do? Do I go pro? You know what I mean? Like, I think everybody in the world was like that at one point because of the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. Anyways, I was just kind of hanging out, and John Olhauser, the head coach at Crandall, he messaged me and asked me if I wanted to come. And I was supposed to just go there for the World Championships, which was in October of 2020. We were going to go to Poland. And then once again, that got canceled due to the pandemic, but I was still enrolled in some courses. Yep. So I was taking the courses and ended up enjoying it. And I'm still here. We got lots of plans ahead, so I'm enjoying it, man.
And that's awesome. Is this like one of the only places in Canada or that offer something like this?
Yeah, that's what I heard, that we're the only varsity boxing team in universities in Canada.
Wow. That's awesome that you're a part of it, because you're certainly a star. And I just want to ask, Is running something that you've always like? I understand running is a part of boxing preparation, but like, have you ever competed in like track and field earlier?
Like not really, like a little bit in elementary school, and like, I don't know, I was always kind of fast when I played basketball and baseball, but like I never really competed.
And I see that you actually won a race. You were at the Église Saint-Marie in Church Point, which isn't far from where I'm actually from. Can you talk a little bit about that race and that must have been awesome to win that.
Yeah, that was the one on the beach, right?
So
I don't know. I didn't really have much expectations. Like I had just won a race prior to that one.
Okay.
But I thought maybe it was like beginner's luck, right? Because my time wasn't super fast. It was like 32 minutes over 8K, but 4 minute pace. And then I was running on the beach the next race. So I was like, I don't know. It was a cool experience because it's a beach and like the sand and all that. So I wasn't sure if my legs were going to get tired, but it was a close race the whole way through. And the guy who ended up winning the championship the year before, he was actually at that race as well. And he got second. I think I beat him by 11 seconds or something like that. it was a cool experience for sure, man.
Were people treating you like this boxer that's in a running, like a race, or were people treating you like an athlete in track and field or in racing?
Like the, my coach or like just.
Yeah. So are you competing like also in for Crandall's race, like running?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's basically what I spent my fall doing, was doing that, because there wasn't a whole lot of boxing for me. I only had two fights this fall and one was an exhibition. So I focused on some running.
That's awesome though, that you, rather than like seeing that there maybe wasn't that much competition to boxing, you just transitioned to something that, you know, really, I think has a lot of application for your boxing career, right?
Yeah, like, it complements it for sure. Like running, it doesn't hurt in the boxing ring. That's for sure.
And I'm sure like too, like with amateur boxing, like it's usually three rounds that are 3 minutes long. And I'm sure you're wanting to maybe exercise some of these new skills that you learn, like endurance wise, because once you get into the pros, you can, you know, have more rounds and take people into deeper water. Is that something you're looking forward to in the pros when you do become a pro?
Yeah, man, for sure. Like I think my one of my strong points has always been my cardio. Like even before I started doing this running, I can spar for 10 rounds if I needed to. But the thing is, it's a different pace, right? Like it's a different pace between amateur and pro. So I think I'll definitely have more success as a pro than an amateur.
For sure. So I was wondering, can we just get into how long you've been boxing and how your journey began?
Yeah, man. I started boxing about 12 or 13 years ago. I was 9 years old. And in Oromocto, obviously, I got in a little bit of trouble. So my dad brought me down to the gym. It's kind of like a scare tactic, I guess, right? So anyways, I quickly fell in love with it and just kept on competing. I had 55 fights out of Oromocto. And then, like I said, I transferred over to Crandall. Now I'm going to school and I've had 4 fights with them so far.
Wow. And starting boxing at 9 years old, like this hasn't been something that you've really taken a break through your whole life. You've always been kind of dedicated or focused on the boxing dream.
Yeah, man. Like since I was a kid, 2020 Olympics was my goal. And then when that didn't happen, I was kind of lost, right?
Yep.
And then luckily this pandemic happened. I didn't go pro and then like brought me to Crandall.
And I was talking, I remember I messaged you a long time ago. I thought I wanted to join the army, but unfortunately I wasn't able to. But was joining the reg force ever in your mind? You must have considered that as well, eh?
Yeah, I think I will after school, like my history degree, that'll I could become an officer after in the military.
Yes, yes.
I might commission, but obviously the military is always going to be there, right? So I'm going to chase my dreams right now. And then when I need to, I'll join the army if I have to.
So being from somewhere is like Oromocto, What's it like growing up in kind of a predominantly military area?
Well, that's the funny part. So like my dad's in the military and my stepdad, and anyways, like all of his friends are always in the military, right? So actually moving here to Moncton and being away from that a little bit, just seeing the people, they're a little bit different, like their filter, some of the language that they use, and just some of the, like, the army guys are kind of creatures, man, especially back then, like they were still going to Afghanistan and stuff. So a lot of alcohol, a lot of violence around the, I guess, the community. But yeah, it's definitely interesting.
And Moncton, I mean, for New Brunswick is like one of the biggest cities, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's the biggest one. Yeah.
I know, like all the concerts, they always go to, I don't know why, it's always in Moncton. If you want to go to a concert, go to Moncton.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a little bit of a shock when you moved to Moncton, where you're not around a bunch of army guys that have gone through, you know, some really tough challenges that nobody really can relate to. Now you're amongst people that haven't really gone through that stuff and don't.
Yeah, I guess you'd say that. Like, I don't know, it's just a different crowd, right? And now that I'm here at Crandall, like it's a Christian university, so
yes.
It's a complete opposite, like circle. it's good to surround yourself with those people. Right?
You're getting the full experience. You're exactly, seeing all sides. That's awesome.
Exactly. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of like, so do you have like, cause my last guest I had was Sean, Andrew Mord, Andrew Thomas. And, he was on and we were talking about, he was doing some collegiate wrestling at UNB. And I'm just curious with Crandall and with being on their boxing team, what are like the usual practice? Is there like a practice every week, or like what's it kind of like being competing with them?
So yeah, we just got our training schedule yesterday. We start up tomorrow.
Okay.
The guys are still flying in.
Yep.
But, two training sessions a day, minimum, sometimes three.
Wow.
But, yeah, it depends on, like, two minimum you have to do, but you can do one on your own if you want. Mm-hmm. So normally just the team training, the boxing stuff, that's all together, but then you have your cardio and your weights on your own, and it's six times a week. So pretty busy.
Are you able to, like, do individual competitions as well as the competitions that are a part of the, you know, the university versus university, or I think I even seen university versus like U.S. Armed Forces.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would have been against West Point Military.
Yes. Academy. Yes.
Yeah. So they're in New York. Yeah. So that's our league. Mm-hmm. We're in like the Northeastern Collegial League. Anyways, it's they're all in the States because there's no Canadian university boxing teams.
Oh.
So we do interleague matches and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's just local, like going to Cape Breton or Quebec and Ontario and stuff like that.
Awesome. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, was it not that the Canada Games have been, or sorry, Brampton Cup, that was delayed. Was that something that you were looking forward to compete?
Yeah, yeah. We were all supposed to go to that one. We actually got a guy on the team from Brampton. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, you wanted
to use that. Home court advantage.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Hopefully. That's awesome. Yeah, so I want to get into, so you're training at Ormucto, and you have one of the most prominent professional boxers in this area, Brandon Brewer. He was there. And I know I've seen on social media, you guys have a really awesome back and forth amongst each other. Can you just talk a little bit about your relationship with Brandon? Cause he's done promotions. He's been on many of the promotions. Can you talk a little bit about him?
Never heard of that guy.
Brandon. Oh, Brewer? Really? Yeah.
yeah. Brandon, well, obviously like whenever I first started going to the gym, he was starting boxing around that time too. Right.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah. He kind of had a little late start, I think 24, but I think he's hitting his prime now. So he's still got lots in the tank, but I always looked up to him like growing up, and obviously as a teen, he always beat me up and stuff like that, but Yeah, we got a little bit of a rivalry. We're both really competitive guys, and yeah, but he's helped me along the way for sure. And he's just been a big role model and mentor.
And at what age were you going in against grown men? Were you somebody that, like, later on, like, because a lot of people that start younger tend to be fighting, like, a lot earlier, fighting, like, stiffer competition earlier than other people. Were you fighting Brandon? How old were you when you started sparring with Brandon?
Oh, geez. Well, he probably sparred, like, he'd go down on his knees and spar with me when I was a kid. But, like, I don't know, maybe around 14 when I started having some actual fights, yeah. He'd start beating me up a little bit. And it was like that for years. And he probably still thinks that he beats me up, but he doesn't. But, no. Yeah.
And one of your assets, like, just watching your pad work, I think you have some sparring footage or whatnot, but seeing your pad work, you got really fast hands. Was that something that you've always had in your boxing career?
Yeah, somebody actually asked me about that yesterday, and the answer I gave was just, like, work on your strengths. Like, if you're not, like, I don't necessarily hit the hardest, so, like, I focused on getting faster and faster. Right. So just work on your strengths. And I guess that's kind of where that came from.
And I said it on my first podcast, and I can say it now. My opinion is, in the future, after your pro debut, the Ryan Garcia fight, that could be, you guys are both, you know, probably around the same weight class, and fast hands, you know, good looking guys, charming, yeah. You know, so who knows, maybe you could make it big. Be the first person to beat Ryan Garcia as a pro. Yeah.
If he wants it, we'll see.
Yeah. So who are some like, you talked about Bram Brewer, obviously you said you looked up to him. What are some things that inspire you, or some people in your life that, you know, maybe are a shining light?
Mm. Yeah, well, definitely Brandon. In the boxing aspect, my dad, I look up to him. He was in the military and did 20 years, went overseas. Wow. To Afghanistan. So, you know, like, in my military aspect, I look up to him, and even just in life in general, right? Like, the guy's pretty resilient. But yeah, definitely Brandon for boxing, just because, like, we're kind of built the same, and, like, he's taught me so much, and just even just hard work. Like, I'd be sneaking into the gym at, like, 11 o'clock at night to go and get a workout in, and Brandon would be in there. It's like, what are you doing in here? Right. But just hard work. Like, that guy's committed. And that's something that I definitely, like, took from him. And mm-hmm. Hard work, like, nothing beats hard work. Right.
So, and I think this is something that a lot of people that start off young in boxing continue through. There comes a period in time when you become a teenager, you know, everybody's going to the parties, they're doing this, they're doing that. Was there a draw for you, like, to say to yourself, you know, like, oh, I'm young now, I deserve to, you know, go wild? Or did you stay committed, like, keep your focus on boxing that whole time?
Yeah, for sure. Brandon kind of had a chat with me when I was in my teen years, and it was about women. He said, because, like, a lot of people go out, start chasing women, and don't want to go to the gym anymore. Right. So yeah. He said that I can chase the sixes and sevens right now, or I can go to the gym, work my ass off, and come back and get those nines and tens later. So that kind of stuck with me. And I use that as motivation for sure.
That's really good advice, guys. Don't just chase, you know, chase your dreams first, and everything else will come. Right.
Exactly. Right.
And so you mentioned that 2020 was one of your dreams to compete in boxing. And now we're in a weird situation, right, with COVID and everything like that. I was talking with Aubrey, and he was saying, you know, I really wish Sean would compete in 2024. Is that a possibility at all? Do you see yourself becoming a pro, and just, is that your new goal, to become a pro?
2024 is a goal right now, because so I'm on a boxing scholarship, obviously, at the school. Mm-hmm. And that only lasts if I'm an amateur, right?
Of course.
So if I were to turn professional, I would lose that but it lines up perfectly. I would graduate in April of 2024. Mm-hmm. And then I could go to the Olympics in like July or August of 2024. So my degree would finish right around Olympic time, and then I could go pro that fall.
Awesome. And I see you were a national member for a few years. What was it like being representing Canada?
Oh, that there's nothing like it, right?
Nothing like it's it. Like, awesome.
Like you see, those are guys that you watch on TV, like the World Juniors and stuff. And like, I was on that same stage. So I'm definitely this year, like I really want to get back on that national team and get my name out there. So 2024, there's no doubt that I'll be going to the Olympics.
And do you still keep in contact with the people that you're with? Like, can you just explain to the layman? So you go to Montreal, you do like a training camp for the nationals, and then you compete, obviously, so you can keep your spot. Is that what it's like to be a national member?
Yeah. So when I made the team, I won nationals in 2017. Mm-hmm. And then I went up, I did some like a short day or two training camp to kind of see where we're at to make our spot. So I ended up making the team. And then I went back up sometime that summer, and we did a 2 week long training camp. Mm-hmm. And then we went away to the Youth Commonwealth Games, which was in the Bahamas.
Oh.
And competed there. I got fifth. I won my first fight against West Africa and then lost against Ireland. And then after that was really my experience with them, because the next year, 2018 nationals, I didn't end up winning. And mm-hmm. 2019, I didn't end up winning. And then there hasn't been a national since. Yeah.
So you were talking about international competition, and I'm always interested to hear this. What are some of the toughest fighters that you've gone against? Because I've heard, and more of on a national level, because I've heard, like, you know, Cubans, they're really tricky, and then Russians are really tough. So what, like, was there any like nations that you went against that you're like, man, these people are really tricky?
Yeah, I'd say anywhere in like Europe, like England or like Ireland and stuff like that, those guys, they're very like defensive, and mm-hmm. every single one of them, like, you'll never find a short fat one. Like, they're all tall and skinny, like they're all of them, and they got the longest arms, and they're always using those check hooks and just pivoting off. It's so hard to hit. But yeah, I definitely say Ireland was the toughest. But I haven't fought a Cuban yet, so we'll see.
Okay. And do you watch much of the pro boxing that goes along, or is there any pro boxers that, you know, are somebody that you always follow?
Yeah, Canelo. That's Canelo. Pretty basic answer, but yeah. Yeah, I'd say Canelo is my guy right now that I like to watch. I did like watching Ryan Garcia, but he hasn't fought in a while.
No, he hasn't. Was his last fight the Campbell fight?
Or... I think so. Yeah, with the body shot.
Mm-hmm. And then he had, I think he's had some spells with mental health, which I think a lot of people have had issues, especially with COVID going on. Yeah. And okay. And Canelo, the goat right now.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be moving up to cruiserweight, but I guess that's not a done deal. So he's still in negotiation for what he's going to do this year. He's certainly done a lot.
How much more weight can that guy put on? He's moved all the way up. Like, it's like Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah. It's crazy that people, you know, skills pay the bill. I mean, he's obviously strong too, but, you know, he has he separates himself a lot, and he is a really cool ambassador. And you know, that scuffle that he had with what's his face? The last guy he fought.
Oh, Caleb Plant.
Yeah, Caleb Plant, where he took off the glasses. And I was like, whoa, okay, because he's finally learning English and able to, like, trash talk. And this is a side we haven't seen because of his English ability. So he's now able to finally show suit. Okay, and I guess the next thing I want to get into is 2022. It's a new year, obviously. what are some, maybe some goals that you, short-term goals, long-term goals that you have for the year?
Short-term, well, I got to fight January 29th. It's supposed to be in New York.
Oh. So,
because there's nothing here in Canada, man. Like, I can't get a fight around here unless I go to, like, Ontario or something, but I'm pretty sure they're locked down right now. So, yeah, New York, I don't really know much about the guy. I just know that he weighs 155. He's got more than 10 fights, and he wants to fight. So,
is that up a week? Like, don't you usually fight at 135?
I normally fight around 141.
Oh, 141?
But, you know, COVID, I put on a couple pounds. But
oh,
I
like, let's go. Strong, let's go.
Wrong weight, though. It's, I got huge arms. Like, I won't take off my hoodie.
Yeah. I won't either. Show all these muscles, man. I don't want to distract the podcast.
Yeah, exactly, right?
yeah. But yeah, New York would be an interesting place to go. It's not too far from Nova Scotia or New Brunswick.
So. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's pretty close. I think the spot that we're going, it's not New York City, it's Watertown, New York.
Oh. So
kind of just under Ottawa, about 2 hours away. So we might fly there and then drive 2 hours.
But that'd be awesome because in like Nova Scotia right now, we can't do competitions, and I think classes are like now 10 limit, and it sucks because across the border, it's like, oh, anything goes kind of with right. The same amount of numbers. But
yeah, it seems like they got to figure it out, right?
I mean, sports tend to be, just at least my understanding, maybe you disagree, but sports tend to be really important in the States. You know, like, they put a lot of money, time, effort in the public generally, you know, especially with football coming up.
Oh yeah.
They're really, really into the sports. So
yeah.
That's cool. So you have a fight, and I imagine you started your preparations for that fight.
Yeah. I've been training since before Christmas, so I'm ready to go.
Awesome. Do you like having a fight where you don't know much about the fighter, or do you like having, you know, kind of a plan going into the fight? Or
yeah, I like having a plan. Like, I like knowing who I'm going to fight, but it really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, like, I'm just grateful that somebody's getting in the ring and we'll fight, right? So
yeah, I think it was, I was listening to I gotta say Tommy Fury interview. I don't know, he's some people like him, some people don't.
Yeah,
compared to the other Furies, but he believes that in fights you have to get the actual fight to get experience. Like, you can't really grow that much in the gym. Do you agree or disagree? Have you grown a lot in the gym, or is it those fights that really have made you learn?
Totally agree. Yeah. You need the experience. Like, you can run drills all day, and you can spar even. Like, sparring, you get some experience, but like, it's really the fight in front of the crowd and stuff like that. Just being comfortable in the fight. Like, it's just a dark place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Getting comfortable in that, it's a, yeah, you definitely need the fights to get the experience.
When you look at starting at 9 years old, now you're, how old are you now?
21.
21, the grown man.
Yeah.
When you look at competing from 9 till 21, like, eventually did it get easier for maybe that pressure, that the anxiety, that stress that comes along with boxing, or has it always been the same for you? Like, do you get stressed before a fight?
Not like now I'm pretty calm. Like, of course I got a little bit of jitters and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But like, I used to be a mess, man. When I was a kid, nobody knew this, 'cause obviously I hit it well, but like,
yeah,
I remember I used to like throw up before fights and stuff like that. Like, I was a mess. Like, I was so nervous. But now that I'm older, like, it's pretty chill. Like, what's the worst that happens? I get knocked out. Like, really, but it's not a huge deal. Like, win or lose, you're just getting in there, having a good time, and whatever happens, happens.
And kind of segueing, what are some other, like, we talked a lot about boxing, What are some other things that you're interested? We know that you also study history. You've been competing also in races. What are some interests that you have maybe outside of boxing? You mentioned, just to sidetrack, you used to compete in baseball and basketball.
Yeah. In high school and just high as school. A kid growing up playing other sports, right? But I like boxing's my thing, right? Okay. that's my thing. Like I like baseball. Like I still watch the Blue Jays and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I love watching it. I umpired baseball for a couple of years, but
really?
Yeah, like if I could be a professional baseball player, I probably would be, but I'm from Canada, New Brunswick, and I'm pretty dog shit at it. So
what's it like being an umpire? Like, do you ever actually, you know, get hit with the ball? Like take some damage.
Yeah. People would always get hit with the ball and like go down hurt or whatever. It's just,
Can you catch a ball with the umpire helmet?
No, I can't do that. But I didn't mind being an umpire. Some of the parents kind of were, you know, if their team's losing, it's my fault. So, that's kind of what drew me away from it. Like, I enjoyed it, but just getting yelled at by parents isn't fun.
Like, so an umpire is not a member of the team. You're like a referee.
That's exactly. You're the ref. Yeah.
And you're behind the catcher, right? Most of the time. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And, So you were doing that for what level of for a baseball? Was it like a job or was it a volunteering?
Yeah, it was a job. I did it from like the age of, I think I was 14 or 13. I did it for about 4 years. So I did like all the levels from the little kids up to like high school.
And then if the parent didn't like a decision, have you ever had any parents like go to you face to face and yell at you and all that stuff?
Nah, like I guess like a little bit, but like it was nothing too serious. But yeah, it just wasn't something that I was super. Maybe I was bad at it. Maybe that's why they were always yelling at me. I don't know. But like I kind of got to the point where I was like, I don't need to do this anymore. Like I'm just probably gonna catch an assault charge, right?
Well, clearly you're bad at it if you weren't giving their kid the right decision, right?
Exactly.
Like,
obviously, right?
Like, yeah. Their kid's the best, right?
I give like judges and refs like respect because it is a tough job. Obviously, at the end of the day, somebody's got to win and they got to make a decision, even if it's a close fight. But yeah, like yelling at them is not going to change their opinion, right?
That's awesome that you're into baseball because I listen to The Fight with Teddy Atlas a lot. He uses a lot of descriptions of baseball in boxing. And have you seen any like because I imagine hitting a good home run is almost like a good right hand or a left hand depending if you're southpaw.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, you agree?
Yeah, for sure, man. Like. Even just throwing the ball, like the follow through and turning your hips and stuff like that. Same thing with swinging the bat. It's all the same. Like that's why you can put a boxer in any sport and they're going to compete because they already got the general understanding of their body. Right.
Funny. You bring that up. I apologize if I can't pronounce your name, but do you know Sierra from Nova Scotia? Yeah. How do you pronounce her last name?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, Sierra, if you're listening. But she was the all around champion with all these different sports and all the different stuff. So I was kind of interested or surprised when I saw that. I was like, okay. So, you know, boxing can make you a well-rounded individual. Cause I remember like when I started into boxing, I thought I was gonna get into MMA, but I just switched to boxing, but GSP is one of the guys that I always followed. And he always said, him and his coach Faraz Zahabi, they said, the gymnast is like the all around, the best, you know, athlete. They can explode and all that stuff. But then I saw that. I was like, no, it's boxing. Yeah. So it's cool. Like, cause I was asking you, I was like, what kind of other hobbies you have, but the fact that you don't have any other hobbies is good, kind of, because that means your focus is on boxing. And everybody that I've been hearing, like, if you actually want to take your boxing to that next level or to become a pro, you got to have it as your main focus. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, man, for sure. Like, of course you need to be focused on it, and that's gotta be your main goal, but it's always good to relax and have a side thing. That way you don't burn yourself out. But, yeah, I guess for that, like, the reserves would be my side thing, right? Or school, like socializing with some friends and stuff. But, yeah, man, definitely need to be dedicated to your craft.
And I was wondering this. I was talking to Aubrey. When you get like PT training, which I imagine is a little bit different with the reserves, but when you're doing these like rucksack marches and stuff, does that take away like from your practices in boxing, or were you able to develop the strength to do the physical work in boxing and in the reserves?
Yeah, some of the stuff's different. Like, I would consider myself fitter than most of the guys that I would work with, right? Because like most of the tasks that we do is just like marching with some weight on your back, and like it's tough in its own way, because it might be raining, you're hungry, you haven't slept in 2 days, and now you got like 80 pounds on your back, right? Like, it's tough in its own way, but like for the most part, just waking up and doing the regular PT, it's not that challenging to a boxer, right?
Probably be challenging for me, but I think I'd be one of those guys that's in your unit or whatever that's struggling. You gotta give a pep talk. Like, you gotta come on. Go up the hill.
That's all right though, as long as you get her done, right?
Did you find, like, just going into your reserve experience, did you find was there some leadership skills that you learned along the way? Like, is there things that you kind of, now you're in a different situation with school, do you use any of the skills that you learned from your reserve experience and your everyday life?
Yeah, man. Just like, I guess when times get like challenging or something like that, like I've already kind of experienced that with the reserves. Like the training, like the PT isn't necessarily that hard, but the training is hard, like just mentally and physically. Like like I said, you could be cold, wet, tired, and hungry, and it's minus 25 out and you haven't slept in 2 days, right? Like, there's all kinds of different challenges that you experience there, and I think it just builds you like stronger mentally, knowing that like you can do this. I can hold a plank for 5 minutes. Like, that's not that hard. You know what I mean? Like, when something seems tough, you know that you've done something tougher, right? Because I think a lot of people, they set barriers on like what they can do because they haven't experienced that yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then once you realize that we're capable of a lot more, it's a really powerful thing. I haven't had that. I wouldn't say I've ever had that moment yet in my life. I hope I do, where it's like, whoa, I have like this reserve tank and like I'm Superman, you know, but I've heard certainly from people that have been in the army or the reserves that, you know, there's that, there comes that breaking point and then, you go past it. And it's kind of like almost like a spiritual, you know, existential thing where you're like, whoa, like this whole time I was limiting myself, but I really have all this. And it's really cool for boxing, because, I'm sure boxing, you do go through that in those big fights that, you know, those big 12 rounders where you fell down twice and you got up. Right. But, cool. So we're getting close to the end. I really appreciate you coming on. For anybody that wants to follow your boxing and you on social media, what's your handles? How can they get in touch with you?
I'm on Instagram as Sean Finney. I'm sure you could probably edit that in somewhere.
Of course. Of course.
Facebook, Sean Finnegan, send me a friend request. I'll probably add you if you're not a weirdo.
If you don't, he'll probably look at your likes or whatever and like, oh, like Hannah Montana, like that's a little a little weird that you like Montana in 2021, but okay. All right. No, I really appreciate you coming on. It means a lot. I look forward to seeing the results for your January 29th fight in New York. And more so, I'm really excited that you have a lot of different avenues and a lot of different opportunities, but you do have that singular focus in boxing. And I really look forward to 2024 in the future, and seeing you go into the Olympics. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it. I had a really good time, and take care and stay safe as always.
Perfect. You too, man.
Take care. My man, that was awesome talking to Sean Finnegan. That was an interesting conversation. And I really appreciate everybody that tuned in to listen to that. And as always, everybody, stay safe and have a good rest of your day, whenever, whatever time you're listening to this.